Welcome back to another episode of On Life and Being Human. I'm your host, Catherine Colleen, and this is the podcast where we go more in depth into what's on the articles on the website, CatherineColleen.com, KOABD.com. They all go to the same place. You can send in your questions to questions@KOABD.com, or you can use the form on the community page at the website. Let us know what we can do for you. I'll answer your questions right here on the podcast. Just probably just write you back myself by email as well. If you want to be anonymous, just let me know and I'll make sure that you are. So I'm on a mission here to bring peace to the world one person at a time by helping you create a complete connection to yourself, to your world, to your reality, to others, to your money, to every aspect of your life and your reality. And a huge impediment to our peace is worry about kids. And there are lots of different areas of your life that where you will want to create peace, right? You would like to have peace with your money. You would like to feel at peace with your body, with your mind, with your emotions, with your energies, with your reality, with your spouse and your family, with your pets, with a beautiful blue sky, with all these different aspects of your life. That if you can create a real, complete connection with them, you'll feel so very at peace. But even when you get to that point, if you are a parent, and parents, I feel your pain because I am one, worrying about your kids, you would think is impossible to stop, right? I've heard it said, you are only as happy as your saddest child. And I thought, oh, that sucks. Because I have 5 children. I did not birth them all, but they're all mine and I love them. And at any one point, statistically, you know, 1 out of 5 is going to be unhappy. So this is not okay. I can't just let the emotions of 5 other people who are not me dominate my world, because that means I'm always going to be miserable. So that's just really not okay. So I set on a mission about how to stop worrying about your kids. I thought there has to be a way. And the really good news is there is a way. And so here's the beginnings of it. And then I'm going to walk you through some practical steps on exactly what to do. Ultimately, worry is a form of stress. When you worry, you tell yourself a story about your kids, if that's what you're worrying about, and which is what we're focused on in this podcast. So if you're worrying about your kids, you tell yourself a story about what they're doing. And if you're worrying about them, it's probably because they've made a choice that you don't like, that you believe will lead to a bad outcome. Maybe even their total ruin. Maybe even their death. So you tell yourself a story, oh, they're doing this, and you relive it over and over. And then you imagine all these possible negative futures that you believe are going to come out of it. And that's what worry is. Stress is very similar. We talked about this in the last podcast. Stress is when you tell yourself a story about yourself and imagine all the negative possible futures. So worry is just stress about other people. And that's what you're doing when you're worrying about your kids. You're stressing about the possible negative futures that are coming out of their current decisions. So let's start where most parents start. If you get this far, let's start with super practical things that you can do, right? It's really easy to let worrying about your kids dominate your entire life, especially if you have a lot of kids. It's easy to let their fears and their worries and what you perceive as their mistakes, which might be, and let their situations consume your time and attention. But when they're grown, that is, they've gone to college or are otherwise have hit their 18th birthday, There's nothing you can do to influence their choices. In fact, I would suggest that once they hit about 13, there's nothing you can do to influence their choices. But at least if they're living with you, you can do things like taking away privileges and stuff like that. But once they're out of the house or over 18, there's really, you're not going to influence their choices. All your worry amounts to zero effect on them. And all it does is take your time and your energy and your attention away from you and your own issues and your own purpose and your own decisions. And I would love to solve how to stop worrying about your kids. And as a parent, I thought it might be impossible, but it turns out it's not, because I've done it. So let's begin with how to not let your grown children's issues overly dominate your life. So let's focus on the grown children over the age of 18 for a little bit. And you think, oh, well, they're 18 and they go to college and their issues don't dominate my life. If you're thinking that, it's because they just barely left the house. Just you wait. So first, here's the perspective. Your kids need to make mistakes and feel the pain, or they will never learn. They'll never learn the lessons that life has in store for them. You must not, and frankly cannot, stop this vital growth process. You can try to stop it, but life has challenges and life has pain in store for them, and they need it to learn and to grow and to follow their path. And you can't stop it. It's like holding a hurricane offshore. It's going to come. And the longer you hold that hurricane offshore, the stronger and more difficult it's going to be. And yeah, there's times when it might be right to get in the car, get on a plane, or rush to their side. For example, medical emergencies or childbirth. But otherwise, you need to leave them alone to grow mentally and emotionally. So now for the discipline. Because this is part perspective and part discipline. The discipline part is yours. You need to discipline yourself to focus on your own mission and to trust that life's path for them ultimately ends up in a good place. It's hard to trust that. But you have to get to a point where you believe that ultimately, and it may be decades from now, their life path ends up in a good place. And now, this is particularly difficult when they choose to just bombard you with texts and phone calls and or their presence, and they're just constantly showing up. This is also challenging because it just sort of puts everything right in front of your face. And when their choices seem to be leading them to their death or jail or life-ruining outcomes, this is really difficult. So let's start with failure to launch. There's no really good way to tell your grown kids that they should stop calling and texting so much, or that they should stop coming by for visits so much and go build a life for themselves. There is no good way to just come out and say that, right? They seem to just assume that you sit around all day waiting to attend to them with no life of your own. Like you go into suspended animation when they're not in the house with you, right? And so they just expect you to be at their beck and call, because in their mind, you don't do anything. You just sort of freeze in place and have no life. You're just all about them. And for years, it was true, so you can imagine how they got that impression. Now, if they're living in your house and you want them out, you're going to have to do the hard thing and explain lovingly that it's time for them to grow up and find their way. You might offer to help them find a place of their own. You might advise them on how to get a job, but you will have to put a deadline on it, and you'll have to not make excuses and not take excuses. Will it damage your relationship with them? Yes. Good. This old parent-child relationship needs to be broken so that a more adult peer-to-peer relationship can be formed. And there's great stuff in the psychology literature on this. It's worth checking out. If they're not living with you, good job. but if they're not living with you, but they're making their business and their drama far too known to you with daily calls and texts, then it's time to take a much more subtle approach. So if what it is that they're putting their drama in your face far too often by contacting you too much and you really don't want their drama, then as tempting as it is to tell them to just shut the F up and manage their own stuff like the grown-ups they claim to be, you could just say that out loud when they're not on the phone with you. I wouldn't do that, though. I wouldn't say that out loud to them. So instead, what I would do is cultivate selective responsiveness. That means decide to not respond to that text until tomorrow. Or don't call back, maybe until later. And only then, when you finally do contact them, respond to good news only with a congratulations. Hey, that's great. Good for you. You're amazing. And if it's bad news, just respond with the encouragement that they can handle anything. I know you can handle this because, you know, and tell them all the positive attributes about them, because everybody has positive attributes. Everybody has strengths, right? So tell them, you know, you have these wonderful strengths of X, Y, Z, and I know you're going to be able to handle this. And, you know, if they're feeling sick or whatever, I hope you feel better soon. And then let it go. Next time, instead of letting it go till the next day, let it go 2 days. Yeah, imagine that. And then let it go 3 days. And keep lengthening the time in between when you choose to respond, when you choose to text back or call back, until you get it down to a place where you feel like that duration is comfortable. Until you get it down to a place where you feel like that's where you want to be. Some parents like to have contact once a week. Some it's every 2 weeks. Some it was once a month. Hey, some parents maybe you like every day. That's fine. But the point is to take control of it and help it be what it is that you want it to be. And until you get to a place where you feel like they're not dominating your mind and they have time to try to handle things themselves, do not solve their problems for them. Now, if they ask you for advice, give them advice. You may notice they don't really listen anyway. It doesn't really matter. But if they ask for advice, give them advice. Say, hey, this is, you know what I would do? I would do this. And let it be at that. Don't expect them to follow it, though, because that's a trap. Okay, so now let's talk about the harder problem of when they are or when they seem to be on a path of self-destruction. Drugs, mental issues, there can be all kinds of problems. You may want to offer them counseling or rehab, but ultimately, if they do not believe that this path is self-destructive, then your so-called offers of help will be taken as trying to tell them what to do. Or it could be taken as disapproving or judging. And they're likely to cut you off. Or at a minimum, they're likely to blow you off and ignore you. So at this point, there's literally nothing you can do. For your grown children who do not live with you, you must accept that their life is theirs to do with as they please. Now, you don't have to support it financially, and if you feel that their behavior is self-destructive, then you should not support it financially, except maybe to get them counseling or rehab or whatever you think they may need. But you should accept that their life is a gift that you gave them, and gifts do not come with strings attached. When you give someone a gift, you're not asking for anything in return. They want to destroy their lives and themselves. That is their sovereign right. You must mourn the loss of who they were and try to accept that. For reasons beyond your understanding, this is their path and they must walk it, not you. And then you go live your life. There's the thing. Because your worry does nothing. Try to make it clear to them that you love them and that you're here to help, and let it go. To let it go, however, you're going to need to mourn their loss fully, as if they're already gone. Because they are. That beautiful soul that you raised, the person you thought they were, is gone. If they come out the other side of this, and I hope they will be someone new and hopefully better. But they sure will not be who they were. So mourn, allow yourself to grieve, and move on. The reality is that their path in life was going to be their path in life, no matter how you raised them. This is not your fault. This is not your doing. It's got nothing to do with you. It's got everything to do with them. So focus on making the most of your own life. You've got to remove your role from their choices and focus on what you've got going on and why you're here and what you need to do. Let's not waste two lives because you feel some duty to permanent bereavement over this child. So now let's go back to your grown children that are not self-destructive and not living with you, but they're simply kind of derpy and they're just doing the kind of stupid things that we all did at that age, making all the dumb choices that we all made at those ages. They don't seem all that bad off now, do they? You did some stupid things too, and if you think you didn't, it's because you've not faced it yet. They will be fine. Say it with me. They will be fine. Now go put your phone on Do Not Disturb for a few days and enjoy the peace while your grown children handle their own lives as they are perfectly capable to do without you. In fact, they might even do it better without you. Celebrate the fact that they don't need you. Find your purpose and live. And this will give you a really great start on how to stop letting worry about your kids dominate your life. And worrying about your kids is to really finish it off. This will give you a good start. But to take it to the next level, you're going to have to update your perspective. And here's the perspective that blew me away. And it is not mine. This next piece did not come from me. So here's the big deal. When we are old enough to have teenagers and young adult children, we are old enough to wish that we were that age again. You know, we watch them at 18, 19, 20, early 20s, early 30s, and we go, oh man, to be in my 20s again. And we have a sort of subconscious wish to go back and get it right, whatever that means. It's kind of funny. There really isn't a getting it right, but we have this subconscious wish to go back and get it right. And we have a sort of envy of their freedom. They're at this stage of life as young adults where they could do anything, you know? And what you're really saying is, they could get it right. I could get it right this time. That's what you're really thinking. And we worry about their choices constantly because we can see the future and they're headed for disaster or hard life or at least suffering with some of the choices they make. But here's the thing. When we project into the future, what we're seeing is one possible result of what might have happened to us in our time if we had made that choice. So when they make a choice that you think is a bad choice for them, it's because it would have been possibly a bad choice for you when you were that age. But we cannot see our own future, much less somebody else's. And some choices seem just blindingly stupid and are in fact quite likely to have some negative consequence. But it's a consequence that they will learn from or die trying. And regardless, and I don't mean to sound cold here, it's their path, not yours. When it comes down to it, you don't know their path. You don't know their journey. You don't know their purpose. And you don't know their future. And choices that seem bad to you might be just right to forward them towards their purpose. And choices that seem good to you might lead them to misery. The solution is to recognize and accept that you don't know. And this is liberating, let me tell you. Let go of the need to think you know what's right for them. Because you don't. Look how hard you work just to figure out what's right for you. You think you know everything that's right for your kids? No, you don't. Be happy when they're happy. Offer them a hug, virtual or otherwise, when they're sad. And recognize that your sage advice and other forms of so-called help may do more harm than good. And just focus on making your life amazing. Now, this was the perspective that really broke me out of worrying about my kids. And I would love to say that it's mine. But this amazingly on-point perspective is not mine. It was courtesy of my youngest son, Quinn. He's an old soul, and he is prone to profound insight on human behavior. So thank you, Quinn, at 16 years old, who could see there what I'm not sure anybody has seen before. So take this perspective to heart. Really think about it, that we don't know what's right for our kids, and that we have to let go of that notion, and that we have to let go of imagining what would happen to us if we made the same choice back when we were that age. You can't get back there again. You are where you're at right now. You are the age you are right now. So let's start from here and make it awesome and let your children go build their own life. There you go. A little painful truth for you. Let the hate mail begin. But this perspective has been enormously helpful to me. There are a lot of advice out there that centers around letting go and not knowing. The Taoists would say B is the uncarved block. Just say, I don't know. In fact, practice that. You know, when people ask you questions, if you tend to be the first one to try to run off and go find the answer, instead try saying, I don't know. How about that? I don't know. And get comfortable with the idea of not knowing. All right, that's enough for today. Thanks for joining us. So we'll see you next time.